to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley. This is Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 1075. Dow futures down 87 after reaching new highs yesterday in the Dow. Dow keeps heading up. NASDAQ down 38. How are you, Lou? What's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, sir.
What, so the flip side has hit for the Amazon people, huh? Lose hourly, lose monthly bonuses and stock awards as minimum wage increases. It wasn't just a
I don't know what their revenue looks like or their revenue available for wages looks like. The $15 wage increase, this is a little reminiscent of the deal that I had or the deal that you see when you start negotiating for people like football players. The guys that I worked with and the agents that I work with now talk about the problems that the union had when it negotiated the 2011 package, and they negotiated a lot of long-term health benefits that the league agreed to in exchange for a reduction up front of compensation. Now, the union argued that this was in contemplation of a new TV contract, which would greatly increase everybody's take, but the short answer was that most of the players just said, hey, look, give me money in my pocket. And in places where Amazon is locating facilities, for example, here in Denver, they've got a huge warehouse or a new warehouse operation. They can't get people to work for them. The unemployment rates are so low that, they've got to deal with the fact that people aren't coming to work unless they get paid more. And the idea that you come in and tell people, well, look, you know, look at these great stock options and other benefits and the potential to earn a bonus, and that's not good enough. No, I want the money in my pocket now. Okay, fine. So what we'll do is we'll give you a visible wage raise, and the trade-off for that is we don't give you the benefits package.
The Audrey's has a friend, had more than one friend, but has a friend that worked at the Amazon thing that opened up here in Bolingbrook, maybe? Someplace.
I
think it is Bolingbrook. But a huge, huge operation. She lands there, and it's hours are absurd. I mean, you know, you're working Christmas Day. No, I don't think there's any overtime for holidays. They don't get paid more for Saturday, Sunday. But she's on, like, the, 9 at night to God knows 5 in the morning shift or something. $11 an hour, and it's one of these things where if you show up on time 5 days in a row, they give you like $100 bonus. I mean, they absolutely worked. She lost like 25 pounds her first couple of months, and I mean, you're constantly hauling stuff, you're running back. I mean, you are being pushed to the limit for the full 8 hours. Which I'm not saying people shouldn't work hard. Obviously, they should, but it's to me when she was describing it to me, I'm going, this is like way over the top. Well, they finally got enough young people, so the older people, which she was. In her 50s, then for some reason they just fired all the older people. Even though they were on time and getting the bonuses for everything. I mean, it was not, I don't think there was anything like a stock option or was nothing like that at that level. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that in a place where there's, people that can get other jobs don't want to do that for 11 or 12 bucks. I mean, I think they're going to have trouble at 15, but it's a hustle job. It's something that people used to do at a, you know, on a Teamsters union wage, for God's sake. I think you're right. They're not, the heart is not popping out of Jeff Bezos' chest because he left his shirt unbuttoned. I mean,
he's a business guy. And, you know, they're tracking labor costs and productivity. I doubt if they single-mindedly set out to, eliminate the older employees in their workforce, at least per se. What they probably did was they had time motion studies, and they could identify the employees who could cover more territory faster. And guess what? You know, the average 25-year-old can move faster and cover more territory than the average, you know, 55-year-old.
Well, true. But in a place like that, you would think there would be jobs you could move up to, the person doing the automatic stacking and those kinds of things using the... But I just wonder, I mean, when you get down to this level, I mean, this is my... Not my bitch at all against Amazon. It's just my economic assessment is when you go from selling stuff online where it's delivered out of a place and you don't even touch it, and you make, you know, whatever, $5 the $5, once you put your fixed cost in, the $5 for you, your margin on every sale of a book from Better World Books where Kevin used to be, or a camera from Matt Weber's camera shop in North Dakota, your margin has got to be 100%. But once you start slugging people around a warehouse, there's a million warehouses in the world. I mean, yours could be the newest and most efficient, and it's probably better. That part I get. But, I mean, you're still talking about people running boxes around. There's only so much harder you can make your people work, Lou. I mean, right? I mean, you're not going to get an 80% margin out of a warehouse activity. No, sorry.
I agree. But the other thing, and you can't forget this, is the panache that attaches to somebody working for a company like that. And I've seen that over and over again. I saw it in the dot-com boom with outfits like AOL, and I see it now. I see people willing to accept a lower wage rate for the opportunity to get an entry position at Google or SpaceX or Tesla or take your pick. It's really an interesting phenomenon, but companies definitely play off it.
Lou, I was a member of that community, a community no other like it in the world. Wasn't that a book? Nothing like it in the world. On the trading floor, where people were willing to go grab your lunch on time and what you ordered, as long as you hired them as a clerk, just to get them in the space, because the tops. I tell you, none of these people, from what I understand from this lady, none of these people at this particular Amazon place in Bolingbrook ever dreamed they were going to end up in the corporate office someplace. It was not that at all. They were hiring people and just shove these bikes around. And by the way, can you come in at 2 in the morning? Well, not really. Well, then you're fired. I mean, there was no panache whatsoever.
Oh, well, except that I'm betting there was, just to be able to tell you. And I'm saying it on the fact that I've seen it. I've seen it in other jobs. Especially in the sports and entertainment industry, people will take the most ridiculous jobs for next to nothing.
Well, that's like the trading floor, sure.
In the stock, just again, they're not expected to be, you know, part of the team management eventually. They don't know, but they, you know, to be able to say, yeah, I work for the Bears or I work for the Cubs, or, you know, I guess it's okay to say I work for the Bears now after last Sunday. But you know, it's that kind of, don't discount that kind of effect in terms of, you know, people wanting to say, yeah, I got this great new job at this new place. You know, the terms and conditions aren't great, but I can tell my friends I'm at this new facility, or I'm with a hot employer.
Well, I have a question for you, and I don't want to go down the road and piss off every.
Well, by the way, lawyers, it isn't just an entry level jobs. Lawyers do this for client identification all the time, and the clients are aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
They will force discounts on legal fees just because they know the lawyers want to be able to say, hey, I'm lawyering for, you know, whoever.
Well, that's because, don't take this personally, that's because the list prices of every lawyer are so ridiculous at this stage compared to the rest of the world. It's not even close.
I there's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. Although, I think the hourly rates that you see in the corporate law arena are absolutely crazy. And I keep coming back to, I mean, that's one of the big strengths of my firm right now, is that we've got the kind of rate flexibility that allows us to come to a client and say, yeah, for this kind of work we charge X, for this kind of work we charge Y, because when we're doing X kind of work, we're adding this much value to your operation. But when we're doing Y work, you know, that's a higher end, that's a higher skill set in terms of, you know, experience and everything else.
I don't disagree. I mean, I'm just saying that get somebody's corporations, what they will actually bill somebody before the negotiation starts. And some in the, I'm
oh,
sorry,
yeah.
The kid out of John Marshall last week is not worth $800 an hour. I mean,
no.
Well, I got a question. I'm going to try not to.
The kid out of Northwestern last week isn't worth $800 an hour.
I'm trying not to piss off the Me Too movement a little bit. I'm just asking a question about people's.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Maddie,
get the dump button. Get the board ready.
Yeah. My question has to do with Addison Russell, who just got the, for those that don't know, he had a last year, Maddie, I'm going to have a Cliff Notes version, make sure I don't leave anything out. Last year, his ex-wife, now divorced girlfriend, lobbed out in her Facebook or something along those lines that she was there when he...
On a blog.
He was verbally abusive to his wife while they were married, whatever.
And physically.
And physically, okay. No real...
What was the nature of the physical abuse?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It seemed a little...
It was vague.
Yeah, it was
vague. She didn't get into grave detail in the blog post, but she said...
Was she treated for any injuries?
Well, this is the girlfriend. Well, then they're divorced, and the wife never said boo. Matter of fact, when Major League Baseball went to investigate it, she refused to cooperate. So they did not close the investigation. They left it open, but they stopped working on it.
So basically what you've got then is uncorroborated hearsay.
Okay, but now, out of the blue, evidently he went over for a child visit and was loud and obnoxious. I don't know if he smacked her or not, but and then all of a sudden she decides to have this kind of tell-all thing about how he was this really bad guy from the get-go, which, you know, who knows, maybe he is. I wasn't there. And so she lobs this one out there after there's a divorce. Now, you would think that the right way to handle this would be to get a restraining order of some kind and say it's not safe for him to go over and see the kid because all he does is start yelling at me in front of the kid or something. And there's a ways to do this.
Let me just back up because I've sort of followed this. He was just verbally nasty to her at a child visit.
Evidently. But then
he didn't lay his hands on her or anything else.
No, so evidently she decides now I'm going to tell all that I wouldn't tell before the investigators, and lobs out this a blog post to Manny. What is this? Something. She produces something in writing, right, Manny? It's either on Facebook or on...
That was the blog post. I thought that's what you were talking about originally.
Oh, the girlfriend, I think.
The girlfriend of hers that did this a year ago was just like an Instagram comment.
Right.
And that's why it was more readily dismissed, as hearsay.
Well, but the wife wouldn't cooperate either. That's why the investigation...
We'll run it out as a hypothetical if we don't have all the details. But the wife now has said that she was physically abused.
Physically, verbally, yeah. And so the investigation, which was never really closed, is open again.
No corroborating evidence. Physical injuries, no treatment, no...
Doesn't appear to be, although I don't know that. So now, Major League Baseball, he was put on administrative leave on the 21st of September. They come down with their decision. He's being suspended 40 games without pay, retroactive to the 21st, the day after.
I didn't know that they'd come down with a decision.
Yeah, so this is the day after the Cubs lose in the wild card. I don't think there's any connection there because he wasn't going to play anyway, but still. So now my question is, Lou, I mean, you've known me long enough to know that I have enough trouble smacking a fly, much less another human being. What is in these people's mind? I mean, now...
Which people?
The wife. Now, she lobs this one out there. I have to assume, and again, I don't know, that say the guy makes $1 million a year, which I'm sure I'm way short, but that's an easy round number.
Well, I can tell you right now, in 2015, he made $460,000. 2016, $527,000. 2017, $644,000. And then in 2018, this year, he obviously went to some sort of arbitration because he made $3 million.
All right. All right, so let's keep my number at $1 million. It's easy at this hour. I got to believe Lucy's getting half of that plus with the kid, or let's just say half.
Now that they're divorced and they have a kid.
Yes. So she blabs this one out there. Now, let's say next year he's going to make $1 million, and now he's going to make $750,000 because half quarter of the year is without pay. Now, does she drop back to $375,000, or does she expect her half?
She expects her half.
All right, so what if she really stupidly miscalculated? And again, I'm not involved in this. What if she really stupidly miscalculated and Major League Baseball said, God, this is egregious. You're going to be the example guy of us going forward. You're banned for life. Does she still expect her check?
Well, yes, she would. That's the short answer. The long answer is he goes in and his attorney modifies the child support order.
But, I mean, don't people realize that this is somewhat a potential You know, I mean, we're not talking.
Sure they do. That was the whole Ray Rice situation. You know, and this is why I don't think employers should get into the business of enforcing domestic relations concerns. I just don't. It rarely benefits the players. When Ray Rice got suspended by the NFL, his wife, who at the time was his fiance when he cold cocked her in that elevator, his wife goes into the commissioner, Goodell, and says, "Don't suspend him, please. You know, this is my meal ticket."
Yeah.
You know, this is nobody's going to benefit.
Well, do we really
from
think
having
that
him suspended? Except that the NFL gets the virtue signal, and so does Major League Baseball.
Do we really think that we want to go down? And people are sort of odd, Lou. And some people's sexual relationships are pretty odd. Mine have never.
What are you
been
talking up. About, Chief? This is Maddie. This is my strategy to boost our ratings. What are you talking about, Chief?
Well, let's just say there was a group on the trading floor, a couple, and they were both kind of divorced. They were divorced, and they sort of got together, and they had sort of odd personalities. And let's just say they sort of liked it rough. And when the story was,
they dressed up in leather and beat each other with whips and chains.
Well, no. Some kind of raucous brawl up in some Lake Forest thing, and one of the living room chairs went flying through the picture window. This guy was a big guy. He would like to, at lunchtime, he would like to go down the block here and sort of get in a fight in some of the bars that used to be on Van Buren, like in the Blues Brothers. He's a strange duck. The police show up.
That's what he did on his lunch hour?
Once in a while, yeah. Once in a while. Try to get in a fight. So the police show up, and they immediately...
Who called the police?
Well, somebody who saw the chair, like, fly through the picture window. It's not an
ordinary... Oh, okay.
Not necessarily an ordinary occurrence.
All right.
I lived in a lot of neighborhoods my whole life. I never saw a chair come through the picture window, did you?
No, I don't understand that. I could see somebody being knocked through a picture window. I can't see a piece of furniture being thrown through a picture window.
Well, it was.
Okay.
And so the police show up, you know, ready to, what are we going to meet here? They compile it in the what do you suppose is going on the living room floor? And the guy says, "What are you guys doing here? Get out of here." So did she. So, I mean, there's a lot of odd relations. I mean, Jane Byrne was a renowned ashtray thrower. They'd call to her place. She'd be winging stuff at her. So does that mean she doesn't?
So is Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Does that mean? Well, maybe it means they should never have a job again. But if anybody, and that would never be me, if anybody ever, you know, smacked anybody that they shouldn't have, or throw something at somebody, they might get hurt. If every one of those people were banned for life for a job, what is the economy going to look like, Lou? I mean,
I think so. I'm gonna track off here now. One of the interesting things about unemployment law is you track all kinds of interesting stats. And while the wage gap between men and women has closed to a level that I think it's pretty much not going to close anymore, because it's being driven by choice and lifestyle and a bunch of other factors, the wage gap in gender cases has closed. The wage gap on the racial wage gap, and there is one, for African Americans and others, has not. And so one of the big factors that people who look at this stuff think might be an issue is incarceration and felony conviction rates. And that a felony conviction stays with you forever. And that affects your ability to get hired and your ability to earn money. And so the long-term effects of something like this ripple through somebody's life. And if you have employers who are now agents of the court or agents of the state in terms of affecting or implementing domestic relations or abuse issues, physical abuse issues, then we got real trouble. Especially since the employers are not using the court system as a basis for their decisions. They are simply using their own internal resources. And that is one step removed from mob rule. If you can get somebody fired or removed from their job because a bunch of people on Twitter come up and start screaming, "Oh my God, he's an abuser! He's an abuser!" We're back in the 1930s in Germany,
right?
You know, I mean, it's hugely problematic, and this is again, I had strong objections to the NFL doing it. I think the Me Too movement has a very strong basis in fact, but across the board as a general rule, like I've said many times on the show, I do not have a female friend in business or anywhere else who has not been sexually harassed.
Oh, I would agree with that.
In the classic sense.
I would agree with that.
But that number, that fact across the board, does not mean in individual settings that I apply draconian measures and start turning people into employment pariahs based on bad evidence. That's what the courts are for. That's what the cops are for. I don't want employers having to conduct investigations of whether their employees,
Lou, you know what?
Beat each other.
Here's the issue with what you just said. You've got me in 100% agreement, which, by the way, we're not supposed to do on radio.
That's because I'm right.
I'm going to say that makes two of us. I'm going to say you've got one other person thinks you're right, me. You listen to TV all day long, and they will say, oh, no, the advertisers, they don't care if the police are involved. They don't care if there's an investigation. If it's an advertiser and he's going to cut back on your ad, you got to fire the guy. Nobody thinks what you just said is the way the world should be right now. It's all about whether somebody tweets out, I don't like. Who's the guy yesterday who just got suspended, Maddie, for bad language at work? They tossed some guy in a was it Fox or Disney or somebody?
I didn't hear this.
Yeah, some guy used
a Fox fired her. Well, I don't have a problem with somebody, an entertainment company, firing somebody because they're a jerk. This guy referred to the women that were accusing Kavanaugh as skanks.
Oh,
which quite frankly, did you? I assume you saw the Lindsey Graham reference to the, you know. This guy was querying Graham and said, you know, what's being said against Kavanaugh is offensive, and Graham said, no, I'll give you an example of really offensive. This is what happens when you start dragging $100 bills through trailer parks. You know, and the audience was horrified, but they didn't recognize the reference to James Carville, who said exactly that with response to when Clinton was accused of being. By Paula Jones and the rest.
Can you imagine, Lou, back in those days, when Clinton comes back from Oxford and he has the Toyota pickup with the AstroTurf in the back of the pickup truck? Now, why would he have that, one might ask. Can you imagine the damage he did back in Hope, Arkansas? Oh, my God. And I bet everybody's lining up.
It's a lot of rug burns.
I bet people were lining up. I mean, it wasn't like, anyway, S&P futures down 11.75. Big news in the morning. 10-year yield, 3.22. Yes. Going up. Right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Will Michaels. We had stuff happening here this morning because of these interest rates. That everybody says is such a great thing when they go up. They're a great thing, but you do revalue stuff, and revaluing as we go here. S&P futures down 11, Dow futures down 82. Again, we've been up all week, especially in the Dow, mostly Boeing and Apple, but Caterpillar as well. S&P futures down 39. It has not been an even move up. It's been very single stock oriented. Remember, when Boeing starts to be $370, and it's up $7 a day. That $7 you got to multiply times 7.5 to get its movement in the Dow. So it's not like the S&P. Anyway, the NASDAQ futures up 39. West Texas down 12 cents. 10-year yield, 3.21. So bonds were down pretty heavy yesterday. They're down heavy again today. Over in Europe, we got the DAX. They're all down, but not very much. Well, DAX down 11.1%. FTSE a little more, down 66.9. I guess Theresa May is trying to fight with the Europeans over Brexit this week. CAC around down 15.9. I don't know if that's going well over there. They're fighting about it big time. Nikkei down 135.5%. Shanghai up 29. I think these guys are close. The same 29's been there for 3 days. Hang Seng down 467, 1.7. So belay that Shanghai number. The oil, like I said, West Texas down 12 cents. Brent up down 14. The spread is now, I'm going to say, $9.90. Natural gas, get a load of this, 2.23.
This is up from 2.74, I'd say 3 weeks ago. It's up 50 cents. It's almost 20%. It's incredible. RBOB 2.12, RBOB 2.12, and we've got gold is, up the whole 20 cents, and silver is up a penny, so not much going on there. Anyway, we have for us Trevin Weather Sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues already to report. Stevenson Expressway inbound. We have a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane right before LaGrange Road. That's causing some issues as folks navigate around that. So keep that in mind on I-55. No issues on the outbound side. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Traffic building pretty steadily on the Eisenhower. Same with the Kennedy. Edens looks okay. We do have an issue on the Kennedy now. An exit ramp is partially blocked with an earlier car fire getting off at North Avenue on the outbound side. So that's causing some delays as folks are heading out of the circle and you approach North Avenue. That exit ramp is partially blocked, so that has some cars backed up. So keep that in mind. Off the expressways out in Downers Grove, Highland Avenue at Butterfield Road, there is a crash. Pretty busy intersection there. And then out near Carroll Stream, County Farm Road at Army Trail Road, there's an accident as well. Weather today, falling temperatures. Last night, we were in the mid-80s, and this morning when you're getting up, right now we're at 63, and that's our high for today, as temperatures will continue to slowly fall. We'll be in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. Lots of sunshine, though, but bring a sweater. Right now it is 63, and that's our high as temperatures fall. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day in the Valley of the Sun. Sunny skies, a high of 86, nice and dry. Right now it's clear and 73. In sports, the American League wild card was last night, and the Yankees had no issue with Oakland. They beat the A's 7-2 to advance to the division series. No surprise there. As we touched on in the first half hour, Addison Russell, Cubs shortstop, accepted his 40-game suspension from Major League Baseball. That's retroactive back to September 21st. So he'll have about, 28 games or so to serve at the beginning of next season, whether he's a Cub or with somebody else. Lastly, the NHL season, puck drop was last night, but for the Hawks, it's tonight. They're in Ottawa opening their season. That's a 6:30 Chicago time puck drop. Chief.
Yeah, Lou, I was with three people last night of talking about varying opinions on the Kavanaugh situation. One gentleman is very conservative. The guy's a constitutionalist. You know, he's a Republicans like him. He's in. Doesn't matter. This was years ago, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't like the women coming out, that type of thing. Okay, fine. I understand that. One guy was your friend, I won't name, said he was kind of lukewarm on the thing, but then when he heard the stuff in the Senate, he thinks he actually popped a few white lies out there regarding like when he heard about the second stuff and all kinds of things, and he was kind of, I can't believe they laid off the drugs and the hard booze and only talked about beer, so he's something fishy. Now he's not so sure. The third guy actually went to Penn, and he's the exact same age as this guy. And he said, you know, I knew a lot of people from that place. I never met him, but I knew of him. The reputation was a mean little drunken bleep. So I'm going, okay. How's that for three little things at the same table?
So let me just talk briefly, and not that the audience needs to hear my opinion on Kavanaugh, but because again, my focus with Kavanaugh is I think he's qualified, and whatever personal quirks he had in high school, you know, we're not guessing about what this guy's going to be like as a judge. We know he's a respected judge. He does a good job on the bench. You don't see these. There have been no allegations that he's, you know, been abusive or unfair or biased toward anybody that's come in front of him. There's none of that. So we don't have to guess about his judicial demeanor based on his high school yearbook entries. We know what it is. We've watched it. And so I discount all the demeanor stuff because, quite frankly, if I think he showed remarkable restraint in front of that Senate committee, I think I would have been tempted to you know, grab somebody by the lapels and shake them until their teeth rattled based on the allegations that were being thrown up about him and what he was about to be subjected to by you know, the press and Twitter and everything else. So his demeanor issue, I don't think I have a problem with. The partisanship issue with respect to him saying, you know, I don't know what's going on here, but, you know, is this something out of the Clintons?
My initial reaction to that was, well, that could be problematic, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as a sitting Supreme Court justice, gave an opinion on the election in 2016, and nobody's screaming for her head, and she was able to operate effectively. And so I'm not too excited about that, except that I didn't like it, and I thought that was inappropriate.
And yet,
if you go back and you start to look at what's been playing out here, you look at the fact that the senators on the committee, Feinstein particularly, were steering this Ford to a particular set of attorneys, that there was apparently a lot of collusion between the Democratic staffers and Ford and her counsel, who were Democratic fundraisers. I start to understand why you might think there's a conspiracy operating here.
I come at this. I would agree with you, Lou. And society has changed, I don't know, dramatically. I'm going to say in the last, when was Bush elected? 20 years ago? Not even 20.
2000.
18 years ago, right? 8 years of him, yeah. 8 years of Obama, and 2 years of
the
Trump.
Hanging chads.
No, he was able to say, hey, look, anything before age 40 is off limits, and people bought it.
People bought it for Obama.
Yeah. Oh,
Obama.
Yeah.
Obama was a felon, admitted to felonies.
What I'm saying is, Lou, is that somewhere in there that I think, can people's lives change from high school? Sure they can. I mean, I get that part. And does the last 20 years more important than the first 20 years? Yeah. I get that part. I have this issue with this whole people that seem to be running this country, which Trump's mad because they wouldn't let him into the group, which is yet another story. I'm not into this. I didn't like it on the trading floor when a couple guys that went to the prep school got the call from the CEO at the AT&T and knew the earnings before I did because he went to the same. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now, Lou. I mean, it's just me. Can't we find somebody normal?
Well, okay. So, do you think I'm normal?
Yes.
You're wrong, based on my...
Nobody's, quote, normal. You know what I'm talking about? But I'm saying, I don't need somebody coming out of that environment, never leaves Washington. And granted, I'll say his record has not been... And I wouldn't really care so much if the other guy was on there. But the Republicans have to do something to stop... I mean, because you can't let the Republicans get away with not putting one guy in there and then get two of their guys in a row. You just can't do that.
Chief, there is absolutely nothing that is relating to Kavanaugh that has anything to do with his qualifications. It has everything to do with the fact that he's replacing a moderate judge,
and he's quite
conservative.
And they never gave a vote to the other guy in 8 months, which sucked.
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's a factor. If that had been a factor, you would have seen a pushback on Gorsuch.
If this guy was on instead of Gorsuch, if that guy would have been on instead of Gorsuch, this guy wouldn't be having this trouble.
Oh yes, he would. Let me strike that. Gorsuch was a swap out for Scalia. And that didn't upset these folks because they understood that the ideological balance of the court wasn't going to change.
Right.
Kavanaugh, in the minds of a number of people, changes the ideological balance in the court. That's why they're fighting him. And they also, because we're close to midterms. And this is based purely on politics.
And it doesn't matter
if it's Kavanaugh, if Amy, what's her face, Barrett, the very well respected judge from the Seventh Circuit was on there, they'd be savaging her over the fact that she's a Catholic.
The gentleman who was one of the brightest people I've ever met, one of the guys last night, he's the pro Kavanaugh guy, so it's not like I'm not, but my concern to him is he wants people there that are these, quote, strict constitutionalists. And I said, you know, I got to push back on that because the things that I see going on in the world and the things that I see going forward have nothing to do with things that are in the Constitution. I mean the idea,
correct.
The idea of how much money should be poured into a district from outside by big people and influence other people's votes I don't see that in the Constitution, because we're talking about a horseback era that I want to know the guy that from Illinois could go influence the election in Carolina in 1884. I mean, I don't see it happening. And plus, these people are going to rule on stuff like, one of these days, Lou, mark my words, I'll bet you $1, Mortimer, that the Comcast is going to want to buy DirecTV. So we're going to have the two people in the cable that own the cable industry buying the two people in the satellite industry. That's not in the Constitution. When it comes time to figure out what are we going to do with these big banks like Bernie Sanders and these guys, somebody may have to rule on that. That's not in the Constitution. I mean, the fact is...
No, and that's... Well, it's not, but the point is, and this is another terrific point that I heard somebody make, the reason this fight is so important is because we have expanded the role of the federal government and law and government generally into our lives to such an extent that we now have federal statutes that control virtually every aspect of what we do. And thus, the Supreme Court becomes crucial in making these interpretations. That, by the way, is one of the things that Gorsuch and I believe Kavanaugh, although I can't remember what exactly he wrote on this, but Gorsuch definitely wants to reverse, a trend they want to reverse, which is the increasing reach of federalism or of the federal system. And they're,
yeah, but Lou, this is not, this,
we're not going to give the deference to these federal
The difference where you and I come on this, none of it's ideological. I honestly believe that, which, again, I'm never supposed to say on radio, so I'm supposed to argue with it all the time. That's good radio. My point is, it's not about, say, for instance, let's pick a topic. Bernie Sanders.
That's right. We can attack Maddie.
Attack Maddie. But what Bernie Sanders is talking about, he wants to break up the biggest banks, and somebody else wants to do this kind of thing. Okay, Lou, we had a big banking crisis 8 years ago. Okay, 9 years ago now, maybe 10. And the decision was left to sort of the Federal Reserve and Congress. You had people stuffing their friggin' pockets, which, not that I'm showing my voice here, but the decision was, we could either decide to have to go back to an era, Mayberry, where maybe we had 25 really pretty good-sized banks. In Chicago, we used to have, what, 8 or 10 downtown. Now we've got, what, 1 or 2? There's 4 left in the world? I mean, we could either have said, this isn't working. Let's try and prop up some of these other guys, split these guys, and have some more competition here. When Continental Bank went under because they were heavily over their eyeballs in the trucking industry, and the trucking industry laws changed where there was no more paper, Continental Bank went under, Lou. First National didn't go under. The Exchange didn't go under. American National didn't go under. Manny Hanny didn't go under. I mean, everybody had their area of expertise they were in, and if they screwed up, you didn't damage the system. But now, let's be precise. So the Fed had a decision back 10 years ago. They could either do something along that regard to get some competition in the industry, or you could lower the interest rates down to where you could essentially refloat these people, the same people, by the way, on the backs of everybody in this country. And that's what they did. So now the story is, our banks are okay, the system's okay, because we've stuffed them with so much cash, even if they screw up, they can't screw up. But meantime, Lou, we've driven a lot of the loans outside the banking system, which we don't want. Naming the last person you know of that went and bought a car and went into his local bank and got the loan. Have you seen that in 15 years now? I haven't.
Well, I do, but that's because I bank with USAA.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, okay, but then you have an advantage there, but most people can't do that. But I'm saying, the things that banks used to do, you can't factor your receivables against Illinois with a bank here, they won't do that. I mean, the things that banks, so what have we done? You've given them a bunch of money for free, where they charge people fees, and overnight the Fed pays them 2.25%. Lou, you couldn't, if Milton Friedman, if you went by his grave, the damn thing is probably, you could probably hear him spinning down there. This is insanity. Just to keep these guys afloat and to give them more and more money and higher salaries? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, so someday, somewhere, somebody on the Supreme Court's gonna have to say, hey, can we break these guys up, or can we go a different direction? This is, all these decisions now are big versus small, union versus corporation, and we know where one side wants to go with this, and we know where the other side doesn't want to go. It has nothing to do with Roe versus Wade anymore, even though people, I mean, you know, we drive our population. This morning I'm listening to, there's an article in Bloomberg yesterday about how how 40% of the people in Wisconsin love the idea of tariffs because Trump is like getting China. They're too busy in their lives, that'll be nice, to realize that a tariff is a tax on them, that Trump is gleefully collecting the money for. And now this morning, Mike Pence is on there doing his best Reinhard Heydrich, coming out there and saying, China is against our president. They'd like to see a different president. They're now our enemy. Lou, are we going to do this just like the Germans and the Russians did? Every day we're going to pick on a new enemy and then have to fix them to keep this charge going here? What are we doing?
Well, you've morphed. That argument has morphed from through a couple of different.
Well, but I'm saying phases. The Supreme Court is going to be in the middle of all this.
That's where we're going.
And it has nothing to do with what James Madison put in the Constitution 300 years
ago. No, it was designed. The court is designed to be a check on government power and the power of the mob.
Yes.
And the majority. And so you know, we want a rule of law. We don't want a rule of people. But as the federal government has, people have demanded more and more of the government. The government comes in and regulates more and more of your life, and that's why these things are so important. To go back to your original discussion with your three friends, I had a discussion with my son who just graduated from Northwestern Law about this. You know, and his objection to Kavanaugh is the partisanship, and a lot of people didn't like that. Yeah, I was troubled by it too. Until you start looking at what he was responding to. And remember, he's been briefed on all the connections. And he knows these people. I mean, the lawyers involved with Ford are senior Democratic National Committee political operatives. All right? They are not some random people that he pulled out of Lawyers R Us, the Lawyers R Us section of the Yellow Pages. DNC operatives. They have been coordinating with the Democrats on that panel. I'm pretty sure within about 5 minutes, he recognized that the Democratic senators had coordinated their questioning of him and were targeting stuff that had absolutely nothing to do with his qualifications. And he said, you know what? I'm going to hit back. I'm not going to waste time on this. I'm going to go directly at these people. And he's entitled to do that. He's entitled to make those comments because he's being challenged as a person. He's not being challenged as a judge. He's being challenged as a person. And so I don't have a problem with him going in there. And quite honestly, the more and more I look at these allegations, the more and more and what's behind them, the more and more it does look like a conspiracy against him. It does look like that, you know, he was the Democratic Party pull together resources that it, whatever it could to just throw stuff at him, and even if it's not coordinated with the press, the mainstream press, the Times, the WashPo, the Trib, even if it's not formally coordinated, it sure looks like it's informally coordinated, because you see violations of the most basic journalistic ethics and standards in the stuff that's being put out there. And let me just give you an example: the Debbie Ramirez stuff. Which is there were three women that I identify as credible sources here at this point, or that were initially identified as credible. There's Ford, who testified. Her story is coming apart. And then there was Ramirez, who was the, you know, somebody waved a sex
it's coming apart
in
terms
or
of
maybe it was the real thing, I don't know. And then there was the woman about the gang rape. Well, the woman about the gang rape poured gasoline on herself and set herself on fire on TV two nights ago. She's out. Ramirez was the only one that really, there was not much information on. It turns out the story that the New Yorker ran with Ramirez, was based on their interviews of, or Ronan Farrow's interviews of people who had talked to an eyewitness. So the New Yorker runs back, they talk to the eyewitness, and the eyewitness says, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, what about the...
And the New Yorker runs with the story.
Right,
anyway.
Is you want to dive into the always the press part. Which I don't.
No. I'm just coming back into saying.
All right.
If you're Kavanaugh, this looks like a conspiracy.
I'm curious as to allegedly. Again, this is another. I'm sure you're going to say fake news or something, but he testified that he had only heard of, I believe it was Ramirez, when he saw the New York Times.
Well, no. What he testified to
was he had never seen the allegations or was not did not know about the allegations until the Times story came out,
And it turns out now that there are all kinds of messages back and forth, because evidently she tried to corroborate her story through other people that he knew that had called him beforehand, and he knew all about it. So
No, he didn't. What he knew about, and this is why it's not perjury, what he knew about was that she was making inquiries. He testified honestly, at least this is my interpretation.
That just sounds like a Sammy Sosa.
No, he testified honestly. I did not know the allegations. The question was sloppily asked.
All right,
he did not know the specifics.
I have never injected myself with steroids, and I've never broken the laws of Dominican Republic or the U.S. Same approach.
I'm not familiar enough with Sosa, exactly what Sosa said, but Kavanaugh's out. The question that was asked to him was, had you heard about these allegations, which he interprets as, did you know the specifics? No. They didn't ask him, were you aware that Ms. Ramirez was out beating the bushes for information about you?
Sorry, so
that's a different question.
Let's kind of bring this one to a close. We got other stuff to talk about. Hey, what? Just real quick question. What do you do to somebody like me, other than shoot me? We only got 2 minutes. I know a guy from the trading floor that always tried to sneak a trade into the wrong guy and just was sort of a bad guy and was kind of a bad drunk and always was a party he shouldn't have been. And here it is, 30 years later, the guy's going to be the attorney general. Am I supposed to like him? And his life has been fine the last 10 years, but I still can't get over the fact that he did stuff other people did and would never do, and I just don't like him.
Hey, here's my thought process. If he did it as an adult, I would say, you know, you're entitled to tell that to the FBI when they come through in the background check.
Well, see, but nobody asked me.
Okay.
I'm saying, I don't care if the guy's a garbage collector, I don't care, but it's the Supreme Court. My point is that, you know, you have feelings that aren't evidence, but you're aware of something, and that's where I come down on this. I just say,
well, okay, so my response to that is, God help me if they went back and interviewed people that I went to high school with.
I'm going to say, Lou, that at age 17, you never hurt anybody. I'm not saying you didn't have an extra beer. I'm not saying you were at a party you wish you didn't go to. But
well,
I'm going to say
I'm in the Donald Trump camp. I don't drink and I never have.
Okay, but my point is the thought of you having sex with somebody who's asleep, I'll never believe that, Lou. Or trying to, or something.
That's probably, you'd be correct in that count.
I'm not talking about people just misbehaving.
I certainly was mean to people when I was a high school student.
But not too mean. Well, you were on roids for the football.
Not in 1972.
You and Sammy Sosa were doing it together.
But I know I hurt people's feelings. I've apologized to them about that. I was a typical 17-year-old over-hormoned male. And you know, I think I was pretty arrogant.
Lou, we have to behave okay, but we can't ever lose that either, because we're going to lose what we are.
Well, I'm just saying, you and what has been described of Kavanaugh does not strike me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it is so
what I know about
okay,
him.
Okay, and I take your opinion correctly, and you're probably right. I would have to agree with that. SP futures down 11, Dow futures down 82, NASDAQ futures down 39. When's the last time I ever said Lou's probably right? And then
few and far second. Between.
Yeah, Lou, I'm with you on this, buddy.
And correctly so.
All right, buddy, take care. We'll be right back, Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hamsey. Mr. Fari Hamsey, Hamsey Analytics, and Mr. Matt Weber. S&P Futures down 11. Fari, how are you?
Good morning.
Boy, some hey, I'm just going to, Maddie, give me 2 seconds here. I guess my real big bitch about Kavanaugh.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I'm going to say my real big
Chicago,
bitch.
Chicago, you moved to China.
My real big bitch, I'm going to talk about China here in a second. My real big bitch about Kavanaugh is I don't see him ever voting any way I'd want him to vote. Is that a fair statement, man? At the end of
the day, the issue here is, do we trust the system?
No.
If the president is lying through his teeth, 5,000, 7,000,
fact-check lie somewhere in that range since he took office. Why would we expect this guy to not lie? Plus, remember, Kavanaugh is there to get him out of a jam he's facing shortly with Mueller, with SDNY, and now New York State Board. Do you understand how much the interest amount would be, late fees and interest for the shams they pulled?
Well, Jay Pritzker here is running for governor. He paid back the $300,000 toilet deal, didn't he, yesterday?
I don't know how many. You can't go on constant dollars, obviously.
No.
Or converted dollars. But if you look at the actual dollars paid at that time, but compounded at any rate you want, or any meager rate or average rate you put, it's a huge amount. They probably, you're probably looking at RICO for the Trump Organization. It's done.
Well,
it may not be today. Remember, I also said 96
guys,
price of oil was too high.
I'm curious.
We're going to be seeing at 48 and 33.
Why are these guys all of a sudden looking at
this?
So this
takes time, but you'll see. This is the problem. Let me finish. If the top guy is lying like that, then this is the guy is ejection seat. Kavanaugh is basically ejection seat for Trump. That's why he's pushing it so hard. Then they're going to gloss over a few things. Look how restrictive the return out, now we learn, FBI investigation has been. So that's a rigged. Talk about a rigged election, this is a rigged investigation. So I don't think anybody's going to believe this. Majority won't at 36%. Kavanaugh could be railroaded in if the Republicans lose their conscience this time, but I'm telling you something. Forget the House. The Senate is in play.
I would agree. Hey, I got a couple of questions here.
Second one is free. Go.
Economic questions. What do you see going on in this housing market? And my people here in Chicago tell me things have absolutely hit a wall in the last month. Why? I have no idea.
Look at
why.
Treasuries. If you look at FBX, we talked about last week, sir.
Yeah, the second thing.
FBX and TNX, okay?
But the first thing.
FBX is your leasing, cars and so forth, and equipment and so on, CapEx leasing. 10X is your mortgages. This is at least a benchmark. You know, it's a 10X plus, it's a FBX plus. Look at 7-year highs. Yeah, 30-year is insurance companies, long-term liabilities. They need the long-term assets. But look at the 5 and 10. That runs the economy. We're hitting a 7-year high. Now, have the wages growth that much? No. We're just beginning to see wage growth uptick in this cycle. Just beginning. Last few months. So that's the affordability. That impacts the affordability. Plus, you got Dodd-Frank.
You can't cheat
on your mortgage like you used to.
Talking to your buddy Matt Weber on the way in, and if anything goes wrong here economically, it's a big if. For about the 10th time in a row, if I had to write a book, I have to blame it on the Fed. I have to blame it on the Fed. The inflation they've caused this time is so different than the last time. Again, it's one man's opinion, and see if you believe what I'm talking about.
Well, here's my problem I have. It's two things. Demographic has shifted, okay? And the debt, national debt has risen. Both of those have impact on our GDP. If you really think about it, it's a cultural thing. It's a societal thing. You have a huge run-up in the debt, which we haven't been able to pay. A great economy pays down its debt. Delevers. That's the definition of great economy.
And we're still
it's not the 3%, 4%, or 5%. Those are arbitrary. No. How much debt do you have? Have you paid it down?
We're up to almost $1 trillion.
That's one problem. What's happening on our demographics? First of all, we're aging. More healthcare costs. Right now, what was the report yesterday on Wall Street Journal? $20,000 a year for healthcare insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People
are W-2. How many of them can afford that?
Well, I'm going to try and tie a little bit together and see if you think I'm right.
Sure.
My concern is that the Fed, because they're basically, I hate to say this, but there's two kinds of people in this country, economics-wise. One is people that own assets and one that don't. Now, there's a lot of people that are blends. You own
consumers
your phone.
And producers, correct.
But when it comes to like property and stuff, there's not a whole hell of a lot of people that you and I know that own big buildings or own a house plus five other properties. I mean, there's a few people, but not a whole hell of a lot.
Sure.
And those particular properties have been, the Fed did nothing but blow these bubbles back up again, in my mind, by having interest rates where they are. So now
part of the issue we've had is they were in handcuffs. When you have no fiscal discipline in Washington.
Well, that's a problem.
Okay. These guys had no choice.
I disagree with that. Absolutely disagree. All they wanted to do was reflate the banks. If you don't have a great banking system, you don't have anything else, and they're in the room, fix us first. But what I'm saying is, sorry, they blew these asset prices back up again and saved the banks that had mortgages on most of them.
They were saving the economy.
Well, in their mind.
If there was not some incentive on the economy side, you know how would it be spiraled lower?
Well, my point, Parry, is you have to be careful, because if you go too far, and if you and I, what I'm seeing all over the place from people that I, you know, smaller entrepreneurs and so forth, you walk into a place and you're going to buy breakfast for two is going to be $40, because the lease, the guy who bought the building is blown up to a point where he paid, you know, $1 billion for the building. I have to get this much for this space. But the guy in the space, I have probably three friends of mine that have restaurants that if you walk in and swear that are making a fortune, they can't make a dime for it. Because the lease, they can't chase the lease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, 1250.
Well, same problem down here too, to some extent.
Yeah, but
Mercado, downtown on the Fifth Avenue, the rents have gotten so high up now that these guys are just closing.
Right, and what I'm saying is, yeah, is that we've inflated things. If you walk in, you'll say, why is this omelet $12.50?
The eggs are 20 cents. Okay, I agree with you what they did. My question is why? It's because we have no fiscal discipline in the both end of Pennsylvania Avenue. And these guys had no choice. At least keep it afloat for some better time. Had they not intervened, do you know where we were?
I'm not talking about the intervention when the money supply was dropping and we had the problem with the...
No. I'm talking about since then.
I'm talking
not
about...
Not 2009, I'm talking about even quantitative easing. If had they not... Listen, remember October of 2011? Remember? We were almost broke October 4th. We almost broke S&P, broke 1,000.
I said this earlier in the show, Farah. You could either at that point... You needed to save the system that week. I get it.
Yeah, okay. And have we broken below that? Do you think we'll come back? We've been anywhere around here?
What I'm saying is...
And then, hold on. Let me finish one more thing.
Yeah.
I think that our learned friends over at Fed also know that, as well as you know, that there's something called the Second Amendment. Okay? If you cannot feed your kids, because there's no work anywhere near you, the S&Ps are trading at 500. You don't think they're going to take a gun and go to Dominic's and get a carton of milk?
I get that part.
To feed that baby?
I get that part, but you have...
That's where we're going to go. That's the problem.
All right.
The advanced economy has the Second Amendment.
You'd have been perfect in the room. So we had all these choices. We could say, okay, we could either have open up the floodgates for a few more banks. We didn't do that. Okay. We could have said... Okay, you guys got to go out and raise more capital. We didn't do that. We said, all right, how about if we give savers nothing for 8 years and give you guys all the money? We did that. We didn't have to do it that way, Farah. And now we're right back in the same spot with debt up to behind, but the people who are left behind are the same people now that can't afford the house, can't afford the lease for the restaurant, because all these asset prices are to the moon, and guess what? They're going to come down again someday, just like they did last time.
I agree. Well, I'm not trying to defend the Fed or rubber stamp everything that is right, but I think the blame is a lot and should go around. Majority of the blame is really on the executive and legislative part of the government. It's not the central bank. Central bank is doing its best to avoid the bigger disaster we could be facing, because the others don't have the capability to even fathom that.
But you can't. There's always ways to do. There's always different ways to do the same thing, Farah. When you have the Fed making these decisions with the bankers sitting at the table, it's very rare. I've been on one big board and a couple little ones, charities and stuff. It is amazingly different to spank somebody who's in the room. I mean, if there was a problem, like if you had the CBOE, I can say it now, there is no CBOE really. If your problem was crossing trades by, say, pick a name, Goldman Sachs, Dean Witter, somebody, you're not going to talk about it in a board meeting because with the representative from Goldman Sachs sitting there. because people are too collegial, especially at that level. You're not going to say our big problem are two firms and two of the bleeps are sitting right here. I mean, that would never happen, Lafari. And I didn't even do that, even though I felt that way. I mean, and I was the guy who was the most outspoken. I mean, it doesn't happen. So the chances of Ben Bernanke sitting in the middle of the room of the Fed meeting with all these other guys, Jamie Dimon in the room with them, for God's sake, saying, well, the thing we're going to do now is you guys, by the way, we don't care about you guys. You better go out and raise some capital and lower all your friggin' paychecks, and we're going to have four more banks as big as you in 4 years, like it or lump it. Fire, that doesn't happen. It can't happen because you and I aren't in the room. They are.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But you got to understand, I'm trying to give you a light. I read a lot of this stuff, okay?
Yep.
You should also get a flavor. I'm sure you do, but your listeners should. Of what the other side is thinking, what they're going through. You know, I think if I was on the Fed, I would have given up on Washington. Because these guys cannot add two and two.
Sure they can. They always get theirs.
Of any avenue. They're just disastrous.
Don't.
And is this the best we can do?
That's
the whole issue. It's a shame for this country. We'll put a man on the moon in less than 10 years, and this is the people that are running it.
Farrah, don't.
I got news for you. Wait for the next generation.
Farrah, don't.
The University of Phoenix graduates.
I'm going to lob a name at you, okay? I'm going to lob a name at you. Nobel Prize winner, George Stigler. I took two classes from him. I loved
Pennsylvania,
it.
Right?
I tried to take a third, and it was full. Let me. Okay. He would say.
Did he taught at Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he taught at Pennsylvania.
No, he was one of the guys, the guy who just got the last Nobel Prize. They've had three people in that spot, the Walgreen professorship for political economy, that have won Nobel Prizes. So the guy who put up that seat, there's been three professors in the last 30 years, and they've all 50 years, and they've all gotten Nobel Prizes. There's been no other seat like that, ever.
I know, but I was asking, where was he teaching? You said, yeah, it was
University Chicago.
He was a student.
No, he was in University Chicago. But he would say that if you look at Washington, what you just said is absolutely untrue, that these guys have an amazing skill set, and their skill set is they reward the people that put them there and the people that give them dough, and it absolutely works like a business. And don't ever underestimate them. They may not do what you and I want them to do, but we're not giving them dough. If we gave them dough, they'd listen to us. He goes, it works exactly like a business. And all the people who say it should be run like a business, they're ignorant because it is a business. It's a business unto itself.
All right. Whatever.
Well, I'm just saying, don't think for a second that the right people are not being rewarded out of there. I mean, Boeing, this guy was going to tear Boeing apart. Guess what? Boeing has been the most successful company probably since the guy got in office. They haven't cut back a dime on Air Force One. They haven't cut back on the F-35, and he's raised the military budget. Could there possibly be a better fairy godmother for Boeing than this guy? And he ran on a campaign saying he was going to tear them apart. But nothing's changed. It's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's in there, and he says...
But didn't Obama had also come...
So, I'm saying, don't
I mean, once they get into the
immortal words,
take on the industrial complex.
Yeah, and in immortal words of Dr. J, this guy did better for the people at the top than anybody, because that's where the bread is buttered at. You and I are not being heard. Part of it is we're too dumb to put up money to make ourselves be heard. Okay, and because if we had the regular guy lobby, they'd listen to us. They're equal opportunity scumbags. We don't buy the deal. I mean, how many papers when Apple was getting. What were they getting spanked about? It was some story Microsoft. And that Bill Gates' greatest weakness was he didn't believe in buying off senators and paying lobbyists. And how the financial press excoriated the guy for what? 2 years is having this huge blind spot that's what you need to do business in this country. Instead of 250 million people start walking down the street. Wait a minute. You mean I can't get a fair shake by my government unless I buy lobbyists and stuff money in these people? The answer was in every paper for how long? Right? And all of a sudden, remember they were going to break him up or something? And all of a sudden he started pouring all his money into it and the whole thing went away?
Right.
This was 6 years ago, 7 years ago? He was still in charge. Might have been longer than that. And people read this stuff and they're incredulous. They actually think that these people were there for them. No, they're not. Why would they be? They don't even know how you voted. You never got a check. You never gave them $5. They could care less about Fari Hamzy, the chief, or Matty Weber. Just
right.
Am I right or not?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the end result supports that.
Yeah. So, I mean,
the data, The end result, as observed, supports that. Yeah.
So if your dad was still alive and was here and had $1 million in his bank account and didn't want to go buy Apple or some stock that went under and just wanted to make some more interest rate, he's down $35,000 a year for 8 years. So the banks could be refloated.
No, I see it down here, especially down in Florida. The covenant with a net saver was broken a long time ago.
And who got all the money? And did Jamie Dimon ever lose a paycheck?
Excuse me, I'm partial to that. Jamie's the wrong person to jump on, okay? There's a lot of much, much dirtier people out there.
I never said he was dirty. I just said
he a bank fight who sat in the Federal Reserve conference room in New York while AIG deal was being negotiated. Why? Because they had all those insurances.
All I said was your dad's down $250,000, and Jamie never missed a paycheck. I never said he was dirty.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying. My point is, he shouldn't miss on a paycheck if he's not dirty. That was what I implied.
Do we really think that Jamie should be able to charge, when you're giving him money for free, that he should charge you 24% on your credit card? I mean, come on.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. Look at American Express. Horrible.
Yeah. Well,
they even charge more, and they charge more to the merchant, too. They eat on both sides.
Yep. So. I'm actually kind of surprised at that. When you go in, if you get one of these big time, Maddie, do you have one of these big rewards cards?
Big rewards cards? What does that mean?
Yeah, Amex. Amex has a big reward card.
Well, no, but everybody's got
Premier rewards.
Where you go in and you can tell them what you want 3% off or 4% off on. Could be restaurant meals, could be gasoline, could be anything. Well, I got the one, I got the Citigroup one from Costco. Whenever I get gas, I get 3% off. How the hell, Farrick, does the gas guy not say if you pay cash, I'll give you the 3% back? I mean, how do they talk to the gas station into coughing up that 3% plus the fees on top of that, and not giving me the discount? How do they manage to ram that through the system? So there's actually a card out there, Maddie, that'll give you 5% off of whatever you tell them. Either restaurant meals, airline fares, or gasoline, I think, are the three choices. 5%. Yeah.
So Discover does it too.
Yeah. So
Morgan Stanley.
I mean, but how do you get that 20 cents if the gas is $4? How do you get that 20 cents out of the gas station? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, a restaurant, I guess I can understand because they figure but 5% is kind of a lot.
Well, their bet is that you're coming in and buying the extra stuff in the gas station, because the gas they're basically running it at cost plus. That's it. There's really very little margin there.
Well, I guess my question to you...
And you're just doing volume, but they're counting on you coming buying that the Diet Coke, that they got a 50% margin on it.
Are we cutting it close with this China thing? I mean, I have been,
close to what, I'm sorry?
This China thing. I mean, I'm convinced that they're going to declare
victory.
No,
there's going to be ramifications. And I don't think they're going to show up at the Fed window anymore.
No,
to the extent that it doesn't impact their own existing position, that means it slowly unwind. Boom.
Well, no, what I'm saying is we've got... About 6 weeks to the election, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, second Tuesday, November. What are we going to declare victory on this, or is this going to continue to get worse through the election? I'm assuming they're going to declare victory, but I'm down to about 50% chance. I started about 90.
Gambino needs to declare something.
Yeah, I know.
What else has he done?
Well, he just declared victory. But the
last big thing he was Gorsuch. He hasn't done anything this year.
He will say that he got a new
name. I just saw. Is a Jerusalem Post putting on Twitter that the Democrats said that they had not interviewed the correct people. So I don't think this is ready.
Well, my
have another turmoil here. Maybe that's why the market also sold last night, where the news came should be ready. And your question was, the issue is, last week people said a week may not be enough, and the FBI finishes in 3 days. Well, what's the give?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they limited the. You can't rig this. Yeah, for Guampino to say that was before the election last time. It was a rigged election. This is now a rigged investigation. So,
Let's put it this
disappointed.
Way.
Disappointed. It's sad for them to think we're this dumb.
Oh, they think we're this dumb all over the place. What, did you see the article yesterday about 40% of the people in Wisconsin are for tariffs because they're for Trump? Why would you be for
Trump?
Anyway, but I guess put it this way, for my clients and for myself, I'm sure going to trade a lot different if I think the China thing is all resolved in 4 weeks versus no. It's a big difference in which way I go.
But I don't think China is going to do nothing, given the disruption in their employment this is going to cause them. So, remember, they said to their people, you don't get into politics, we'll keep you busy working, and you make money and you spend.
What do you
if
think?
There's no work.
What do you think they're
going to
actually
do?
What do you think they can actually do? I mean, what?
I'm not sure. I've been reading. I've been scratching my head. I've been thinking about some of the experts we had on China that I was closer with earlier in my years. They're going back to some of the readings to the extent I could find on that are digitized and available, because it was a few years back. But they always said one thing, that was that China was a sleeping giant. That's true in every area. There's also a very good book about the fact that Thaddeus, I forget the name, it's a Greek mythology that when a new power, either economic or military, tries to challenge or replace the other one, and how the steps move forward to eventually lead to a war. I think down the road someday, hopefully I'm not around to see it, we could be a super head-on collision with China.
They're going to be very territorially dominant, and
it won't be Russia. Russia no. would be a wingman, mainly because their economy is so small. Yeah, Russia's economy is so small, there's no comparison. Doesn't matter if they have a lot of nuclear forces, but as a matter of fact, China has a small nuclear forces, but a lot of conventional forces, but the economy, number two, at some point they will be challenging us, especially they have a sovereign fund and we're debt-ridden. That's heavy.
Well, plus you got a situation, and I go into the military part of it, if they use conventional stuff to go just grab a bunch of islands, I don't think we're going to drop a nuclear bomb on them. We're going to have to find a way conventionally to get the islands back, and I don't know how we're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's someone. But what do you, big story here this morning is these Chinese spy chips are found in hardware.
Chinese, what? You got cut off.
They're talking about here these Chinese spy chips are found in hardware used by Apple, Amazon. Do you have any idea what that is?
No. I mean,
it's a new story. I mean, it's been kind of percolating. Maddie, have you been watching
this? Where are you reading that?
I'm reading this on
it's on Wall Street Journal right now.
It's a big deal. Maddie, do you guys, your firm doesn't know anything about chips that are embedded in other people's machines, right? Or do you guys just, I mean,
we protect networks, so we would protect their network.
Okay, so.
That the machine's hooked into.
They're talking about specific chips being loaded in people's machines? What the hell is that all about? I suppose to be determined, huh? Fari, so what are you thinking? Oil going to keep going? What about these interest rates? You got 1 minute.
Interest rates, I think we're going to see probably 3.4 on 10-year, 3.4, okay? And then somewhere near that, over about 3.2-ish, 3.3 on 5-year very soon. I think that 30-year is the wrong measure. Still sleepy.
Yep.
It's got a long way to go, yeah. I think the other one you want to also look at the IRX. The implied, the 91-day implied rate.
My brown brother looked at it a lot.
That's been edging up for several months now. There's no big burst, just slowly running up against the 7-year benchmark.
I know, that's what my brother was telling me yesterday. He watches all that stuff. Fari, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week.
We'll see you.
S&P futures, we're still down 11. Dow futures down 82. Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. David Allen will be here in a second. We're continuing to leak here. We're down 12.25 in the S&Ps, 111 on the Dow, 47 and a three quarters on the NASDAQ. As a 10-year yield, 3.21, up 0.05 this morning. It's a big move. We've been up 3.07, I think, was Tuesday morning, wasn't it, Manny? So it's 0.14 in 2 days. That's a real number. I mean, we're still kind of, you know, not a huge high rate, but it's people thinking it was going to be the other way for a while. Now it's not. DAX down 11.1, FTSE up down 66.9%, CAC down 50.9%. Nikkei down 135.5%, Hang Seng down 467, 1.7. David, is the Shanghai open? They've been open and closed all week. They've been kind of messed up.
I think it's closed for a national holiday, but Hong Kong's open.
So they're down 1.7%, 26,623 again, way, well, pretty far below that 27,000 number. They just got back over, so Hang Seng not doing so hot here. Oil down 12 cents, Brent down 14. By the way, Mike Pence accused the Chinese of wanting a presidential change in his country. They don't like Trump. Well, he's been insulting them for 2 years. I guess maybe that does happen. Silver up a cent and gold up 20 cents. Not much going on there. Copper 2.83. We got for us Trevi Weather Sports, Manny.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We had some earlier crashes on our area expressway, specifically on the Stevenson at LaGrange. That's all clear now. Stevenson's looking okay. Normal traffic volume. Same with the Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. Not looking great on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same goes for the Kennedy and Eden. So we do have some issues out in the suburbs, though. Earlier crash in Lombard, Highland Avenue, and Butterfield Road is still ongoing. And then right near there, Butterfield Road, Route 56, at Myers Road, there's a crash as well. And then out near Wheaton, we have a crash on Roosevelt Road, which is Route 38. One at Winfield, and then another at County Farm, both on Roosevelt there. So keep that in mind now near Wheaton. And then in Bartlett, Stearns Road at Route 59 in the northwestern burbs, we have a crash. And north of there, Route 176 at Darrell Road, we have an accident as well. So some crashes in the outlying areas. The expressways are running pretty much on time, though, so that's good news. Certainly delays, but no accidents to report. Weather today, lots of sunshine today, but the temperatures, if you haven't noticed, have been falling steadily overnight. We're now in the low 60s and will continue to drop into the mid to upper 50s for our high today, a lot different than 85 as it was yesterday. Right now, it is mostly sunny and 63 degrees downtown, but we'll be in the mid to upper 50s. Be sure to bring a sweater as you're heading out today. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day, sunshine, high of 86. Right now, it's clear and 74. In sports, it was the Yankees taking care of business against the A's. 7-2 was the final in the AL wild card, so the Yankees will advance to take on the Red Sox. That should be an interesting division series. Cubs shortstop Addison Russell accepted a 40-game suspension for domestic abuse from Major League Baseball. That's retroactive back to September 21st. No word yet on whether the Cubs are going to trade or release him. We'll find out soon, I'm sure. Lastly, the Blackhawks open the regular season tonight in Ottawa. It's a 6:30 Chicago time puck drop. Chief.
Well, you know, the guys who want... David, how are you?
I'm fine. And the Blackhawks are favored, amazingly enough.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they're favored by... Yeah, they're favored.
Tonight.
All right.
What
do you mean? What other night?
Well, I thought I meant they're favored, like, to win their division again or something.
No, just tonight. Just tonight. Let's take one at a time.
One 24-hour period at a time?
They're not picked to make the playoffs, so we got to take what we can get.
I would say that since we have various people, and even Matty Weber here, he's not advocating it, he just mentioned it, and all the sports radio, they want to trade Schwarber. They don't have to trade Murphy, he's just gone, right? They want to trade...
Murphy's gone, Hamels has a player option, which I think they'll sign, even though it's a lot of money.
They'd be crazy not to.
Schwarber, Happ, Almora... those three guys specifically, I don't think they're going to keep all three of them. I personally would keep Happ and Schwarber, but I like Almora too. I'd be fine keeping all those guys. They're all under
Almora's
contract.
A great center fielder.
But if they're going to sign a big time free agent outfielder, then one of those guys is probably going to go.
I don't know if they are.
That would be, you know, and Hayward.
Unfortunately, Hayward.
I'd be fine trading Hayward too. But he makes a lot of money and he's a bad player.
Well, but so okay, the idea is who you're going to trade him to. There could be an opportunity here for our softball team. If you're willing to just give him away for anybody, we could trade. I think they'll give us Almora for Thomas.
I don't know. That, I mean, we could certainly entertain offers.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, I'd take Schwarber for, say my nephew or something. I mean, I don't know if I could trade my nephew, but no. I'd trade him for me.
Can you imagine how far Kyle Schwarber could hit a 16-inch softball?
Yeah, I can't. Plus, I'll bet he'd be as fast as any outfielder we have.
Oh, I know. Faster.
Yeah. All right, so what the hell does this mean? Talk about fake news, David. I'm trying to get involved in this. It's more of a Matty Weber question. This is a headline out of Bloomberg. Chinese spy chips are found in hardware used by Apple and Amazon, Bloomberg says. Apple, AWS say no way. And who's Super Macro? Apple, AWS, and Super Macro dispute the report. How the hell could somebody say that they've got stuff buried in their stuff and these guys went out and say, no way, it couldn't possibly happen. How does that even happen?
Well, I heard a different report on CNBC that there was a company, Elemental, that I don't know if Amazon bought them or had an interest in them or whatever, but that, and it was different. Apple said that there was an incident in 2015 that they discovered and fixed, and it was a singular event, and Amazon said that they did find either a malfunctioning chip or a chip that had been altered that did, in fact, you know, intercept sensitive documentation. But, again, it was confined to a single server, and they repaired it immediately, and both said no such incidents have occurred since then. So I'm not defending them, and I'm not, you know, going against Bloomberg News, because supposedly there were six different, you know, government sources, some present, some former, you know, government folks that worked in the, I don't know if it was in the Pentagon or in the Defense Department or whatever, that were deemed credible. And Bloomberg tends to be credible, and you have to really back up before you say something. But it might not be fake news, but it might be older news, and it might be, you know, singularly anecdotal.
It's the attack by Chinese, according to Bloomberg, the attack by Chinese spies reached almost 30 U.S. companies, including Amazon and Apple, by compromising America's technology supply chain, according to extensive interviews with government and corporate sources. And everybody says, no way.
I'm not sure that they're saying no way. I think they're saying, hey, there was a flaw, it was discovered,
okay,
it was eliminated, and we're aware of it, and it is not pervasive or ongoing.
Okay. All right, so...
And again, I'm not taking either side. I don't know.
I'm not saying
it's the first I heard of it, you know, also, but it seems like that there is room for both sides.
I'm just curious, it doesn't look to me like it's something we can trade off of. I mean, obviously, it can't be all that serious if it happened a little while ago, and
yeah,
somebody must have
fixed it. 2015 for Apple, I believe, and 2016 for Amazon.
All right, we've been talking.
David from Florida is wondering if your flip phone has been impacted, Chief.
You know, speaking of which, I have a question. This is for just generally lobbing things out there of how bleeped up we've become. David, as you probably know, I finally got a smartphone. Not a very smart smartphone, but a smartphone nonetheless.
Got bees.
Well, I can dunk it in water and I can drop it from stuff and it won't break. But anyway, but I kept the service I use. I could keep my old phone for only $6. So if I want to go on a walk, or if I actually want to just throw it in the truck and just leave it there, because if I don't use it, Maddie, the thing that holds a charge for like 3 weeks.
So you have a new number?
Yeah, on the old phone.
Oh, okay. So you have a new number on the old phone?
Yes.
Does anyone have that number?
A few select people. I will give it to you.
Okay. So but the point being is that you could use it for an emergency or whatever.
Yes, yes. But now I find out I am way more popular on the old phone than I am on the new phone. How long do they rest these numbers now? About an hour? I'm a bad pay at a sport club somewhere in Wisconsin. Then when I call them back to say it's not me, the number isn't registered, even though they text me every day. I get phone calls asking for whatever the guy's name is. I said, no, I just got this number. Oh, okay, see ya. Three girls, about five guys. And the guy, somebody...
Well, take advantage of the three girls.
Like, oh, God.
Sorry, Audrey.
I'm like, what? The thing rings 10 times a day. My new number. Every marketing person is on there. There's the people who, they want me to get a new warranty on my truck that's 20 years old. I don't think I can get a warranty. I get that call twice a day. What is going on? I mean, it's a new number.
Well, as soon as they find that, it gets distributed to India. I mean, I get calls from Vietnam, Russia, whatever, and I'm on the national do not call list, so they have these methods. And if it's a Roselle number, if it lights up and says Roselle, you can just say 99% of the calls are fraudulent health insurance and, you know, mail's potency things and car warranties, and it's just insane. And I've joined every national list to prevent these crank, phony, solicitous calls. And it doesn't matter. I used to get 10 or 12 a day. Now I'm down to 3. But they divert them to other countries now to escape the national do not call list.
Yeah, I made the mistake, Chief, of searching for a car insurance quote on the internet. And I've been getting 10 calls a day ever since.
That's unreal.
It's unbelievable.
If you ever investigate an extended warranty on your car, that's it. you will get five or six a day from everywhere.
I'll lob this one out there for those people who like to see weakness in other people. I'll lob this one out there for you. I got rid of my landline, okay? Not because I didn't want to pay for the landline. The city charges $20 tax to have the landline on your internet, on the cable part. So I guess it's not really a landline. What do you call it? It's a landline, but it comes in with the cable. It's part of the package.
Yeah.
Part of the triple play.
So the tax on it was $20. So I go, okay. Not to mention it cost $10 for the service. And the only time I used it in the last 6 months was for, guess for what? You should know this, David. You're getting old. I used it to dial my flip phone number because I forgot where I put it. So the thing would go off and I'd find it. And so this firm I used, they only charged me $6 more a month for having the flip phone. So I have the flip phone in case I lose the other one. But and for emergency purpose in the car, because instead, like I said, the thing lasts 3 weeks. So I mean, it's really crazy not to have it for $6. And I pay for the combined amount on each. It's one of these knockoff Ting is the outfit I use. They're the same as Cricket or one of those kind of things. So it makes some sort of sense. But David, you and I, to get back here to business a little bit, even though that is business in some ways, you and I have been looking for this bounce up in interest rates for really, I'm going to say 5 years. Someday we're going to talk about this. If you and I have the big guy upstairs 20 years from now, we're going to say, okay, what caused this move to happen in the first week of October in 2018? When it could have happened 6 months ago, a year ago, next week, next year, all of a sudden we're seeing this move and people are flabbergasted by it. It's only 0.2%, but it's been a move that has been, people are like, wow, that can really happen, huh?
Yeah, I think, hard to say. I mean, I think whether it's Walmart or McDonald's or whatever raising minimum, but when Amazon said it, you know, we're going to go to $15, you know, for every single worker minimum, and it's the right thing to do, and everyone should do it, and all of a sudden, you know, off-price retailers like TJX, like Ross Stores, like Burlington, you know, they started panicking and saying, we better do something because we have to fight off Amazon. And they've been very successful at doing so. I think that was just kind of like, I don't know if you want to call it the real trigger or a final trigger or whatever, but wage inflation, I mean, the Fed can't do anything about, you know, aluminum or steel prices if they're involved in the tariff/trade skirmish, but they can, you know, try and do something with interest rates, you know, for wage growth. And I mean, I think wage growth is a good thing, so does Amazon. That doesn't mean the Fed looks at it the same way.
I know I'm getting grumpy, but did you see the headlines this morning? Amazon's hourly workers lose monthly bonuses and stock awards as minimum wages rise. So they think the higher end people.
I did not see that.
Yeah, the top end people now, they think they're actually going to make less.
They raise their wages and took the benefits away.
Right, right. So, I mean,
pretty soon they'll, in their fulfillment center, they'll introduce robots that can pack boxes and
right.
You'll lose your job altogether.
I'm going to say, I mentioned this earlier, David, that the one person I know that worked in one of these centers, I mean, they worked them like dogs, which people aren't willing to do at $10 an hour. Now, maybe they will. I'm going to say that at the end of the day, they're probably, their net is up about a dollar an hour, not the fight hours they're leading people to believe.
It may be. I would not have any idea.
Because the one lady who I know worked there, if you showed up 5 days in a row on time, they gave you a $100 bonus. There was a lot of little bonuses buried in there, like not, if you showed up like 5 Sundays in a row, all kinds of little tricks that, I think they're getting rid of all the tricks now. But still, it's a horrible, when I say horrible, it's not like it's dangerous or anything, but she was working, what the hell did she work Christmas Eve? 6 to 2 in the morning or something? I mean, it's the hours, there's no such thing as, overtime on Saturday or Sunday. I mean, it's
grueling work.
Yeah, and I'm thinking they were having trouble getting somebody for $10. I wish I'm luck at 15, to be honest with you. But I remember working on the truck docks. It was grueling, but I was making union scale at the time. I wasn't making 15 back then, but it was I think we were like 10. which was pretty darn good in 1974. 10 or 12, what was it? I think I was like 18. And but there, as soon as you went past midnight, if you're on a 6 to 2:30 shift, after 12 o'clock, you got time and a half.
Well, it'll just be interesting because I think the robotics thing is a serious threat to those type of workers. I mean, I'm not saying that if you have to pack a table in a box that, you know, a robot is going to be able to do it, but that you better believe that robot is going to take the corrugated box and fold it and tape it together without human hands to save their labor.
Well, if you're packing diverse things in a box, it's going to be a while because there is a place. God, David, this has to be when I was in college. These guys put up this on 115th Street between Central and Cicero. There's this massive building, and if you just went by it, you'd say it would just look like a big blockhouse. In fact, it was the oddest thing when it was built. And this is a long time ago. Maddie, get a load of this. The entire inside was built before the skin was put on it. And it's all it is massive rack upon rack upon rack. Now, there must be some sort of a emergency way in there. The entire thing was done by forklifts on rails. Nobody had to drive them. And the thing would go down the aisle, and you just plugged in there. David gets, 5,000 golf balls. You put them on a pallet. You just hit the thing, and it's number something, something, something. And 5 days later, you hit the something, something, something. You don't even know where the damn thing put it. It knows. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, go get those golf balls, and there it comes, and there come the golf balls. I mean, the amazing innovation in warehousing over the last 30 years, I mean, it's just a progression. It's not we're going to do
something. It won't be long before the divers and all the water hazards are replaced by robots swimming to the bottom to get all those golf balls that you and I have left behind.
Well, the alligators are not going to like that. Anyway, so David, is there anything happening this week that we had a run up in silver, gold starts and stops, copper's bounced 20 some cents off its low. Now we're mouthing again with China. I think these interest rates, they're going to cause a change in stuff. It's the housing. Everybody, I don't know if you know people in the real estate market up by you, but down south, everybody says they just talked to a couple of guys that are appraisers and stuff. They've hit a wall in the last 6 weeks.
No question. And I think, up by me, it's an older generation, but it's being replaced by millennials. And the millennials, and when I say millennials, I definitely mean, 30-somethings, maybe early 40s. But even extending that, maybe into the 50s because of the price bracket. But these folks between, say, 32 and 50 or 32 and 52, definitely seem extremely sensitive to rises in interest rates and mortgages. I mean, it just, there's buyers. The supplies may be actually a little bit less. Sellers have just said, we give up, we're not selling, so take it off the market, it's the winter. So the supplies a little less, and there's plenty of buyers, but they will not pay up. They just, unless the owner provides their own financing, at a reduced rate, they are very sensitive.
Good luck with getting that through the closing. You have to bend over and spread them at these closings.
Yeah.
If your parents,
it's a tough market.
But your parents, if you show up with $1,000. I mean, they're gonna want a disclaimer from your parents that's a gift and not a loan. And I mean, it's crazy. You talk about the regulation going amok. I mean, the regulation hits the person getting a mortgage down way more than it does a big bank, in my opinion. That's just one man's opinion on that. But it's. I was talking earlier, and I wonder if you corroborate with me or not, because I haven't done rigorous work on this, David. I think if a collapse happens, which I hope it doesn't, and I'm not predicting it will. I think it's, if you were to go back to 2007, I remember having this, I'll say discussion, David, with my significant other in real estate about how you just got to buy something. And there was an article that came out, and it was, they said things that I felt, but a lot better said than me. 85% of the people in the world could not afford by close the median home. Okay, so the median home at the time was what, 235? And mortgage rates were 6% or something. And they went through a list of how much people made. if you were in the restaurant business, I mean, you were, you know, like a line chef or something. We're not talking about a busboy, but you made 20 grand, say, 18. And if you were in just a regular assistant downtown, you know, whatever people do in a cubicle, you were making 40, 45. If you were a big shot at a bank, not, you know, or a hospital, not a doctor or anything, but somebody who was, you know, in a testing area or something, you made like 60, 65. And yet the home at 235, if somebody gave you the down payment, you needed 85 grand a year. Now, of course, you could have a wife working too, or a husband. But you needed 85 grand a year if you're through insurance and taxes. I know taxes, I'm going to say, since 2008 have probably doubled in most places, or been up 60%. So what I'm saying, the Fed has basically blown these asset prices back up to where they were. Not everywhere. I don't think they've gotten anywhere south side of Chicago. They're probably not as high as they were. They're probably 80-90% of where they were. But some places are back full bore, right, David? And now we're moving these rates back up again, and I don't see people making all that much more money. And when way more people are paying their own insurance now than did then. At this price,
I don't know, on the North Shore, and it's anecdotal, so I don't know. I mean, I know Denver, they're skyrocketing, and, you know, they had their big blow-offs in San Francisco and New York, and they've kind of topped out and come back down. But on the North Shore, I mean, my own house, it hit its high in 2005.
Yeah.
And I would say that on average, homes in my neighborhood are 60% of what they were in the summer of 2005.
Where did they get down to in 2007?
Maybe they're up 10% from the lows.
Okay, now in Orland, I would say they were 235 down to 165, back up to 225. They're not 235. You're right, but still, we're into this mess again.
I mean, I think the average home was around 750.
Okay.
Went to probably 4, and maybe they're on average 480 now.
Okay. Oh yeah, and some areas are like that. I mean, areas outside of where Audrey lives, where the houses, you know, they topped out at $1 million, you know, in the new subdivisions. They probably went to 550 and they're back to 750, like you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I'm saying
there's been a bounce, but they are nowhere near where they topped between the summer of 2005 and summer of 2007.
But now we have more issues with health care. I think in a lot of these areas, the taxes have gone. I'll bet that home in the million-dollar home in 2007, I'm going to say the taxes were 20. I'll bet now the taxes are 26, even though the house is now. So the taxes
the
become
taxes
part of the
mortgage. Up, yeah. While the overall, for the period, the value has gone down.
But where I'm getting with this is because we've pumped these prices back up some, and we've got tax issues, which we don't seem to ever be able to resolve anywhere, federally, state, local, and some places have. I mean, Kevin says in Michigan they've gotten out of that a lot. Indiana, I think, has a balanced budget. So some places, I think, have, but every place I'm around hasn't. I'm saying your out of pocket cost to own the home is again way higher than the median person can afford. We're right back to where we were in 2008. You're right.
And it's worse because you're not taking into account, forget even taxes and all the BS. I mean, we've put up to try and sell our home in the last 6 years $200,000 to just, you know, new roof, new driveway, new this, new that, new paint, new carpet, you know, new deck, new this, and it still hasn't sold.
Well,
so you're not talking about, you know, upgrades and maintenance. And the buyers who are there want it.
Well, that's, you know, that's,
they demand
keep,
it.
I hate to keep harping on it. I'm mad he's probably bored of me talking about it. But when we talk about refloating these banks and how this system is back to being flush again, David, it's $350 billion you've taken out of savings for people for 10 years. That's $3.5 trillion. It would have been in roofs and windows and carpet. It's a lot of dough. The price has been dramatic to pump these guys up.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, so what do you think? What should we be trading here?
Same thing. And I was wrong until yesterday. I'm a little bit right today also. Russell's very near a buy. You're looking at a front future at 1667. 10, 11 handles down, it's a buy. And 40, 50, 60 handles up, the NASDAQ's a sell.
Okay. What are interest rates going to keep going or no?
they've taken a good blasting. I think they'll stabilize a little bit, but I don't think they're going much on the upside. Maybe they'll rebound a point, point and a half, but then, you know, base of the futures, and then I think you can sell them again.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. SP Futures still down 12. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.